Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tom on the Radio with your host, Tom O'Neill.
It's 11 o'clock. Do you know where your Blog Talk Radio is? I'm Tom O'Neill, and good evening, friends and strangers, East Coast, West Coast, worldwide, and it's that time for another unhinged edition of Tom on the Radio. And you know, when we do this show, we cannot do it without this alleged gentleman who in Jackson, Michigan, has a 97% approval rating. The one, and let's be thankful, the only, Steve Baxley. How the heck are you, big guy? Oh, I give Steve Baxley that great.
Hello?
And
hey.
It didn't click on. But the bottom line is, you're here. How the heck are you?
I'm very good. Thank you very much. How's everything?
Yeah, you had some physical ailments the last few days. You sound like you recovered.
Yeah, it was ye old a little bit of the old tummy flu. I drank about a couple of 64-ounce bottles of water, so I am good to go. had a great weekend, and I got to tell you something. For those of you who remember him well, who remember these two people well, from Seinfeld, the Soup Nazi, and from Napoleon Dynamite, the true president, Pedro, they made a stopover in Jackson for the celebration of Fun and Merriment that is called Mega XP. It was formerly called MegaCon, but they call it Mega XP because it's more than just 2 days of fun and excitement. You get to meet some artists. You get to dress up as your favorite character in either comics, TV, movies, or Japanese animation. It was fantastic. I got to be a part of the last day, and it was good. It was fantastic. It was far out. It was delightful.
Well, that's so great, Steve. Did you dress up in a character, or did you go as is?
I went as is, which is scary enough for me.
Well, it's good enough for me, Steve. I'm glad you had fun over the weekend. We have a few things to talk about tonight, as we always do, not only on my show, but on your show, The Last Call Cafe with Lugnut 6. This is the earliest I've ever did a promo for you on my show, so we have to change it up every once in a blue moon. But I want to get started by remembering a giant in Detroit, Michigan television. And he passed away over the weekend. And his name is John Kelly. And for those of us of an older ilk, John Kelly was a news anchor at Channel 2 and Channel 7. I went on YouTube tonight. Well, actually, I didn't go on YouTube. I went on the WXYZ TV website, and they had a link to a YouTube video. And this video was funny. It was funny as all outdoors. It was that, I don't know if you've seen it or not, but you remember the promo that Channel 7 did, and they did it very tongue-in-cheek where they stole news anchors from Channel 2 because they say that's what the audience wanted. And
oh, yeah.
it turned out that people they stole were the core four, three of the core four for Channel 7 back in the day. Let's remember, there was a time Channel 7 couldn't pass the muster, yet alone pass the station in the ratings. So they just said, if you can't beat them, let's steal them. So to add on to Bill Bond, they stole John Kelly, his wife Marilyn Turner, who did the weather, and Al Ackerman, who did the sports. And those were the people that started the rise of what we now know as Channel 7 Action News.
Ah, yes.
Yeah. But Bill and John anchored the news. Then John got shifted to a new morning show at Channel 7 called Kelly and Company. And he then retired. He and his wife moved down to Florida. Actually, his wife stayed on Channel 7, and they did a revamped version of Kelly and Company for a few years. But my most recent memory was a few years ago on this station's, I think it's the 60th anniversary, they did a retro newscast on the 7 o'clock news where they had one for one last time. They had Bill Bonds, John Kelly, and Marilyn Turner on the same anchor set. And they were just 20 or 30 years younger, they could really compete with the anchors that they have now because they were on point. And it was just so nice to see John and Bill share an anchor set one last time.
It was a sight to see. In fact, you were mentioning Kelly and Company. Boys in the control room, do we happen to have a little special something-something we found? We do? Well, by all means. Play it. Play it, boys. Play it.
Moments on Kelly and Company.
Every morning for 17 years.
Nope. You clipped it? Boys. Hello? Nope, I did it again.
Ooh. That would be a good song by Britney Spears. Ooh, you did it again.
Give John Kelly a little do, boys. Okay. let's finish that little clip if we can. Boys, oh boys.
Back at some of our favorite moments on Kelly and Company.
Every morning for 17 years.
Yeah, I know, a lot.
You welcomed us into your living room and made us one of Channel 7's highest rated shows ever. Every day, people wrapped around the building just wanted to be part of our studio audience.
It was a great time. And for those of you who don't know, our love story together actually began a few years before Kelly and Company.
There you go.
I tell you, those were the days.
Yes, they were nice.
And we talked And we talked about last week the soap opera on Washington, D.C. television a few years ago. This preceded the that. I mean, they actually met at Channel 2, fell in love at Channel 2, and went over together to Channel 7.
Yep, and a tradition and a love affair throughout not only Detroit but mid-Michigan started and has never ended.
Wasn't Kelly and Company broadcast in Lansing?
For a time, and this was when they were so good, their then owners decided, hey, why don't we syndicate these guys? So
they did air
for a time in Lansing, and I do believe in Cleveland. If I'm not mistaken, they aired on the station, which would then become their sister, WEWS.
Yeah.
Yeah. WEWS.
But that show was ahead of its time. I mean, this show preceded Regis and Kathy Lee, then Regis and Kelly. Now it's just Kelly.
Kelly and Big Ego.
For such a tiny woman. So he passed away at the age of 88. He leaves behind family, his wife, 3 children, and 6 grandchildren, and a lifetime of memories on the air.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I still remember the one blooper. This was when they were still having camera people, and this was when they had the circular desk and the big 7 behind them. John Kelly thought the camera was off when they were doing the AP-UPI coaches poll. And he didn't realize that the one camera that was shooting what they call the blank board, where they were superimposing everything, well, they were still on, and John Kelly just stuck his tongue out. Didn't realize it until it was, as they say in the business, a little too late. And I got to tell you, I never laughed so much when I saw that again, and I'm like, oh dear God, I remember this so well.
At least he didn't say the F word.
Oh.
But I'm sure there were F words that were said off camera and off microphone.
Oh yeah. In fact, the line of the decade is still John Kelly when he asked Jack McGough if he can borrow his knife so he can put it in his back. His being John Kelly. and the line, two lines, the line he said was, never think a camera is off. Never.
And that is still true to this day.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. John Kelly,
but
or not, you are missed.
Yes, rest in paradise, John Kelly. You did wonders by your time here on Earth. And we now go on with our usual tomfoolery. Oh, get it? Tomfoolery. And all that other stuff that comes with this show. But if you are a member of or a fan of the Detroit Tigers, the it's getting close to the time for closing time. Let's say it like that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. In fact, give you a little wild card update.
Hot damn!
As we know, the Tigers were, believe it or not, they were off today. They've been off for about 3 days.
But they did win one out of four games.
Yeah, yesterday they were good. Let's see how good they are at this moment. Well, right now, Baltimore, good. Here's some good news, kiddies. Baltimore lost to Boston 2-5. Toronto is right now playing Seattle, which means the Tigers' tragic number is stuck on 12.
Well, that's, you have to take the any victory where you can get them.
That's right, which means, for my case, or excuse me, my opinion, Detroit's got no choice. They got to either take they got to go all out, win every game.
I completely agree.
Right now,
they got to leap over not only Baltimore, but also Toronto.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there are two games out for that last position. As for the regular season, we got two words for the Tigers in the AL Central race. They are 7 games out, and the tragic number for their elimination from the big pennant pooching is 7. Wow. Like I said, they got to win out. Right now, Minnesota and Chicago have been eliminated. Kansas City is obviously going to be next.
Yes. Did Detroit play tonight?
Let's see. They, too, were off tonight.
Oh, okay. So, who says they don't know how to schedule games? I mean, usually when one team is off, somebody else is on and they have to, play scoreboard-wise. But it's very unusual to have both the Tigers and the Indians off on the same day. But I'm sure this will be down one of the last off days that either team will have.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, tomorrow night, Cleveland will be up against Kansas City and Detroit will be up against Minnesota. Yikes.
Okay. And away.
Meanwhile, the Cubs, who have already clinched the division, you guys can just relax, Chicago. You own the Central Division now of the National League.
Well, that's not the title they want.
No, they want the World Series.
Yes. They're not the only one to get in the World Series. They want to win the World Series. I think it's more relief that the Cubs won and the Cardinals didn't. Now the Cardinals are fighting for their own playoff lives. I think they're in the second wild card position right now, but so much can change in the next 2 weeks.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. So, everybody, don't get those playoff tickets, just those wild card tickets, just yet.
No. I think the playoff with the format the way it is fine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because you're not rewarding mediocrity. I mean, you have two teams playing for a wild card spot, but I think it's good if they only play one game. because it creates so much, it creates so much excitement. And Bud Selig's legacy will always be, as long as people think about the wild card, they'll always think of Bud Selig.
That's right, because this was his baby.
Yes, it is. Aside from that tie in the All-Star game.
Oh, we're still not going to forgive him for that. No. That will stay on him like a stain.
Yeah, it makes you wonder, if that thing happened today, would Fox have anything to do with them saying everybody who couldn't play, let them back in because we need a conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are no ties in baseball.
No, you play until a winner is made. This was one of the rarest incidents that the commissioner of baseball really was a real beanhead.
At least he didn't say that other B word.
No. No, I do have a little respect for Selig.
Yeah. Well, what do you expect from somebody that made his fortune selling used cars?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So, baseball is coming down to the home stretch. Football, both college and pro, has just started. And since I couldn't see the Lions over the weekend, not saying that the season is a wash right now, but let's just say it like this, as you would say so eloquently. I'd rather have Matthew Stafford running my team than Jay Cutler. I'm sorry. I had my two TVs on watching both Raw, which we will discuss in a few moments, and the Eagles and the Bears.
Oh.
Carson Wentz looks like the real deal. Jay Cutler looks like a real heel.
Boy. I mean,
and I think I saw Jay Cutler was injured in that game, and they had to replace him. And I'm sure a lot of the Chicago fans went, "Oh, yay! My Christmas came early." But
then they noticed who they replaced him with, and now they're probably going, "Can we get him back?"
Yeah, like thinking, you know, does Michael Vick have any tread left in the tire? Can we get him?
Yeah. I mean, wow.
To separate a good team from a mediocre team, all you have to do is look at the quarterback position. And judging from that first drive of the Eagles had a real quarterback, and the Bears have a shot quarterback.
Oh, brother. I mean, this man, every time he goes down, he comes back up and goes, one, two, look at all the pretty birdies. I got Pikachu.
Which way did he go?
I'm looking at this game and I'm thinking, dear God, can they get a quarterback?
Yeah.
29-14. Wow.
Yeah, either that, they're gonna have to come up with better games. I mean, I think the Eagles are gonna be a good team, but Chicago, my goodness, I mean, granted, I have a rooting interest in the NFC North, but my goodness, I mean, you got two teams that's going to be very tough. You got one team, depending on what day it is, it's going to be okay. And then you have the Chicago Bears.
The Chicago Bears, whose motto for this season is, we want number one. We want number one.
And I think that's what they're going to be drafting. It'll be drafting a quarterback, just like Cleveland will be drafting a quarterback next year.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, their backup quarterback, Josh McCown, got hurt yesterday. So their number one quarterback got hurt, and the number two quarterback got hurt. So they're going to be going to this guy named Kessler, whose claim to fame was this preseason game with the Packers, where he forgot where the inline was and stepped over and caused the Browns to get a safety.
That is just, I mean, wild. I mean, I used to remember the days that the Bears were the monsters of the Midway. Now they're now they're the pussycats of Lake Michigan.
Man, the Cubs have more bite than the Bears.
Oh man,
Bears are a laughing stock.
Yes, now I think they're realizing how bad the Lions had it when Marinelli was coach.
Yeah.
We remember
that season. The Lions went into the preseason 4-0, and they didn't win another game in the regular season.
Yes, they went from 4-0 to 0-16 in the. And they've been trying to find a team that will get rid of that little asterisk. And they're hoping Chicago will be the team.
Wow. Well, there is always, there's always hope,
Yes, there is always hope.
Sometimes it's not that you lose, it's how you lose.
This is true.
I mean, Cleveland yesterday was up on their hated rivals 20-0. And then the Ravens came back and scored 25 unanswered points.
Wow.
Yes. Wow.
Yes, and I think I know why. Because the team that had the most points, I forget their name, they realized they were playing against Baltimore and decided, hey, let's give them the ball. What can they do? We got the lead. What can they do? Mommy.
Those poor fans in Cleveland.
Yes, the Cleveland Browns should look into a camera the next game and just like the Blair Witch go, we're sorry. God, are we sorry? We're sorry for so many things. We're sorry for drafting Johnny Manziel. We're sorry for this disaster of a season. Just don't.
We're sorry for taking a flyer on RG3.
Yes, and worst of all, we're sorry we didn't accept the invitation to be a Canadian Football League team.
Yeah. And let's remember, they traded down this past draft. They wanted picks. They could have had Carson Wentz as their quarterback.
But they went for RG3 and bucket of wings.
They went for draft picks and being $50 million under the salary cap. Look where it got them.
Right back to square one.
No, I think it's worse than square one.
Square zero.
Yeah, it makes you wonder, you know, can Cleveland apply for another expansion team? Because it can't be any worse than what they have.
Or how about this? I understand that things are so desperate in the Cleveland Browns organization. They're pleading and begging, but unfortunately Peyton Manning is still saying he's retired. They went into the woods and asked this woodsman if he wanted to be quarterback. The woodsman turned around and said, I've did my time with the Packers. Why would I play with you? And then they went to Detroit to talk to Matthew Stafford. He told him, sorry, I'm busy actually playing for a team that wins.
I mean, this is just ridiculous that, you know, that Cleveland is so, in football, they're so bad.
Yes, in fact, I think it's so bad the Dog Pound has suggested something for the Browns players, but unfortunately it's against the law to spay and or neuter a human.
Yeah, I tell you. I feel for those fans in Cleveland. I mean, now granted, you know, they have a world championship and the crowd went nuts and millions of people celebrated at the parade and all and everything. But, you know, it's just sad when you have to temper your enthusiasm over the Cavaliers winning the NBA title to a football team that's suckier than suck.
Oh, yeah.
And even the Indians in their pennant drive, can't completely take the sting away from having a football NFL team that the highlight of their game is when they run on the field.
Yes, I am. And when they TV folks from Cleveland ask fans what they look for in a team, some of them are saying an actual team.
But they did do one thing correctly this past weekend. At First Energy Stadium, they did unveil a 8-foot bronze statue of the greatest Cleveland Brown of all time, Mr. Jim Brown.
Oh, yes. And afterwards,
they went out and laid an egg.
Then afterwards, Jim Brown came out and put a bag over the statue's head.
Oh, stop it! So we are getting close to the end of our weekly fireside chat with actual fire. I got thinking about this as I was watching both Monday Night Raw and Monday Night Football, which I had the sound alternate between the two. Do you think that in the WWE they come up with this cruiserweight division as a direct shot at Lucha Underground?
Yes. You know what there's the old saying that keeps coming up. Desperate times call for desperate measures, and let's put it this way. The WWE is desperate for anyone to watch. In fact, would you like to know how desperate they are?
In the words of Ed McMahon, how desperate are they?
They are so desperate that WWE has made a recent bid to purchase TNA. That's how desperate they are.
I find that very, very, very interesting. Once again, to eliminate the competition by buying them out, just like what they did with WCW.
Yes, because let's face it, folks, unless Billy Corgan decides to buy up all and just bounce Dixie Carter, TNA is free, fair game. I mean, even Ring of Honor wants to buy them to see if they can't help. WWE just wants to buy them for the tape library.
That's what I'm saying. As soon as the sale is final, they shut them down.
Mm-hmm. But I have a feeling something's going to happen that will change everything. And maybe Billy Corgan will buy out Dixie Carter's remaining half. Because right now, the WWE has got some of TNA's best and brightest that, well, let's face it, TNA misused and mistreated. So now, ask yourself, can Billy Corgan...
I'm asking.
Yeah, can Billy Corgan come up with enough scratch to beat Vince McMahon's $4 million, say, raise it up to $10 million? Can he do it? Can he save TNA from becoming extinct? Maybe, because the way he has done things with this delete or decay and with some ideas, let's face it, that were brainchilds of Lucha Underground, TNA is starting to make the WWE a little bit nervous, and now that they have the wife and possibly the husband, Cody Rhodes and Brandi Rhodes, This could be the reason why the WWE is starting to say, okay, we better shut these guys down. We better buy them fast, or this audience is going to leave us for them.
But doesn't that mean Billy Corgan will have to come up with an ace up his sleeve in terms of finding a television partner?
That is true, because let's face it, I don't think Pop's going to be with them for long, but... you never know. In fact, before we say our goodnights, I found out from one of the articles that I've been reading about this little sale, found out just who indeed does own some of TNA. Of course, we know Dixie Carter is one part of the ownership. We also know that... Corgan is sort of the minority. The Fight Network. That's right. A multimedia, I guess we might as well say television network, owns a little bit of it. And Aerolux owns even a more bigger chunk. It's like 70% Dixie Carter. The rest are just like lining up.
Well, Dixie Carter is not a figurehead. She actually owns the company.
That's right. Let's see. Besides majority owner and chairwoman Dixie Carter, Corgan, Aerolux Marketing, and Candace Fight Network all have equity shares in TNA. The New York Post reports that TNA is so financially strapped that working capital provider and investor Aerolux has reportedly taken over the TNA trademark.
Uh-oh.
Yes, and they better find something fast, because the next bit of tapings in Florida are coming up. And I have a feeling if they don't come up with the bucks, Pop TV's going to be stuck with best ofs.
Yeah, and don't they have to pay Universal Studios for the studio time?
That's right.
And I don't think they take. I don't think they take empty pop cans in lieu of payment.
In fact, it's so desperate that if we recall, they were doing a live show for Pop TV, and it almost had to be canceled because the production people, including camera people, were about to do some walking.
Because they weren't getting paid.
That's correct.
Oh, Lordy. You don't mess with a person's money.
That's right. Money talks.
And you know that if they have trouble paying the production crew, how about the talent?
That's right.
So the talent probably sticks around because there is no other viable alternative.
This is true. It's true, and let's face it. Like I said, money talks and BS walks. And right now, Billy Corgan has got to work around some of the more expensive BS.
Because if he has to get rid of it, he still has to pay him.
That's right.
I see WCW all over again in this situation. I think, you know, that money that WWE is offering is going to be too much for the partners to turn down. So they're going to take the money and fold the company.
Better believe it.
Yeah. So, but another thing I was thinking about, yeah, I do think every once in a while, you think that the WWE is doing the Raw and the SmackDown live shows and brands to make it look like a reincarnation of WCW and the WWE back in the day?
Yes. I see that. In fact, they've scheduled the Clash of Champions, which was always a WCW staple.
For
WWE Network.
Yeah, this coming Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the hook on that is every championship on Raw will be defended.
And that's going to be wild.
Well, at least they'll have some good matches.
We hope.
Yeah, hope. Well, you know, usually when you have more than one championship match, you're going to have some kind of hanky-panky or a belt change or something.
Mm-hmm.
But I see what you're saying because judging from the last few pay-per-views the WWE has done, whether it be for Raw or SmackDown, they haven't been up to par.
They have not. They have been like foul balls, singles, and strikeouts.
No home runs.
Very few home runs.
Well, I think that's why they put the cruiserweight division to see if they can get home runs. And what I saw tonight with that Fatal 4-Way, you see some action in these cruiserweight bouts that you can't see in the regular bouts. And as I said, this is a direct shot at Lucha Underground or Lucha Libre or Lucha or something, because it looks so different.
It does.
Yeah. And with that, we got dust to pack our bags and go.
Yeah, that's right.
And once again. Well, that makes one of us. Yeah, the Blog Talk Radio doesn't do that. Well, they do, but you have to pay for it. But I'm not in the position to be paying money for an extra 15 minutes. But let's just say the spirit is there.
Uh-huh.
So I will join you once again from your palatial estate